Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Amen. You may be seated. Quiz time this morning. The first spiritual law is... What's the first part? He is, and I am. Okay, that was slow this morning. I don't have to go back to review time, right? So, first spiritual law, he is God, I'm not God. Second spiritual law, God doesn't need us, but we need him desperately. God is complete sovereign. Anything he does, he has chosen to use us. He is chosen. It's a privilege. It's an honor. We should bow down and worship. Anything God does in our life, it's because of his choice. So God is, God does not need us, but we need him desperately. All right, the third law, last week, this is a little closer. Maybe your brains are working this morning. What God demands, he will also supply. And this is the heart of the gospel. And we talked about Genesis 22, Abraham. God demanded perfection, and he gave Jesus. God demanded a sacrifice. He gave his son on the cross. What God demands from us, he also supplies, and that is liberating for our Christian life, because he's not asking us to do anything that he doesn't give us the power to do. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read a few verses. Start with verse 25. The fourth law, what you seek, you will find. What you seek, you will find. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you'll drink, or about your body, or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I'm going to skip a few verses here because it's not a textual message this morning, but he talks about Solomon and how he feeds the birds, and we come to verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these, the Gentiles, notice the word, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Notice the Gentiles seek after things, and notice, but you that know God, seek first the kingdom of God. So these verses reveal the tension in our lives between worrying about everything in our lives that we worry about, because we all worry about everything. And the contrast is we worry about the secondary things first, and the most important thing we worry about last, generally. That is why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. But we are a people that we're always seeking. I don't know how many times I've seen on the Enfield Forum, do you know where you can get a good pizza? The answer is in Enfield nowhere. What's the best pizza? How can I get a plumber? Good electrician? What was that noise on my street? But I've never seen on there, hey, have you read the Bible this year? How can I know God better? So we seek what we want. And I've often said, but I'm going to correct myself. I often said the hardest thing is to teach desire. But in reality, the hardest thing is to teach people to have a desire to seek after God. Because people have desires. People are very innovated when they're motivated for themselves. when they're motivated to do what they want to do. And people can be very, very inventive. How many of you have been tricked by an internet scam? Or a mail scam or something like this. And you'll get this, you know, hey, how you doing today? And from one of your fake Facebook friends that they, what I do now is when I had one the other day, said, hey, do you getting all this money from the Federal Reserve or whatever? I don't know what it was. I said, yeah, I already got my money. I got over $100,000. You want me to help you fill out the paperwork? And man is resourceful. Many, many inventions have been out of necessity, whether it's ways of gardening, mechanical ways. We are very amazing and intriguing. The human spirit is always finding new ways. Except it seems when it says, when it's about seeking God. Like if we get a charge on our credit card we don't recognize, we become investigative reporters. We become like the FBI. And of course, in my house, it always starts, who used my credit card? Where's my credit card? And we're very diligent about that. But when it comes to faith, we say, just have faith. Just have faith. Well, faith in what? God never says, just have faith. He said, have faith in me. Our faith has a base. It has a reason. It has a foundation. And yet today in our lives and what Jesus said, the Gentiles seek after these things. Things have not changed since the days of Jesus. Because in Matthew 6, he talks about the clothes, your food. We're worrying about all these things, houses, shelter, where we're going to be. And Jesus says, I know you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek God first. And people always say, well, I'm seeking God. Okay, here's a test. What do you spend your money on and how do you spend your time? It'll show you if you're seeking God. It's not that hard. What you seek, you will find. Whether that's something that's bad, something that's good. But the reality is, all of you, all of us, you are exactly where you want to be. You are, this morning, spiritually speaking, your relationship with God, you are exactly where you want to be. You say, that's not true. It is true. Because what you seek, you find. And if you haven't found it, you're not seeking it. You're not really seeking it. We're going to talk about the excuses in a minute. But what you seek, you will find. And we show our motivation in many areas, but we lack to show them in spiritual things. Jesus said this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want a closer walk with God, you can have it. If you want a better marriage, you can have it. If you want to do God's will, you can do it. If you want to be a better witness for Christ, you can. If you want to learn to pray, you can learn to pray. If you want to grow spiritually, you can grow spiritually. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you can walk in the Spirit. If you want to become a man or woman of God, you can. If you want to change ingrained habits, you can. If you want to break destructive behavior patterns, you can. If you want to be happy, you can. If you want to have peace, you can have it. If you want to have patience, you can have it. If you want to become more loving, you can become more loving, because what you seek, you will find. Jesus said, if you seek after righteousness, you'll find it. You'll find God. Spiritually speaking, whatever you want, spiritually speaking, I'm not talking about filling your bank account with money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about health and wealth gospel, name it and claim it. I'm talking about the things that Jesus Christ has promised to his children in the New Testament. He has promised to us that if we'll seek him, he will be found. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. And our problem today is that our desires, we're seeking in the wrong place. And we're not totally seeking God. There's a few verses to look at. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from where you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Listen, God is not hiding. God's not playing hide and seek on you. Try and find me. Especially playing hide and seek at the church. You could actually not be found for a few years. He said, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. You can know God today. Isaiah 55, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29, 13, and if you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And there are a lot of verses I could read this morning. But will we seek? If we seek him, we'll find him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And so, spiritually, you can have anything you want in your relationship with God. You can have God. You can have the benefits. You can have the fruit of the Spirit. You can have a closer walk with God. What you seek, you will find. And you are, this morning, exactly, listen to me, you're exactly where you want to be. You'll say, No, I want to be closer to God. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. Because if you did, you could. But you're not, you're spending, let's go back to the test. How much time? You want to seek God? You're seeking God? How much time do you spend in the Bible? And how much time do you spend on TV? 2020. How many books of the Bible did you read and how many series did you binge watch? Just saying. Just saying. We are exactly where we want to be. And if we're seeking God, it will show in the time we spend and the money we spend and the effort. And the results will be according to, it's like, you know what it's like? It's like working one day. And you get the check and you say, boss, this is my normal check. We only worked one day. Yeah, but I still deserve 5 days' pay. Boss said, well, you're not that good of a worker, really. Listen, if we're going to seek God, we have to stop with the excuses. We have to stop with the excuses. Three excuses this morning. Number one, self-pity. Self-pity. It's a self-indulgent dwelling on one's own sorrows and misfortunes. It's, I deserve better. And we live in the society of self-pity. And it really irritates me. Sorry, I'm just being honest. It irritates me how much we fall into self-pity. I was telling the kids this illustration. I probably shouldn't say this illustration. I don't know how it's going to be received. But I learned early in life a lesson of self-pity from my mother. And I probably shouldn't say that. They'll probably track her down and arrest her. But I don't know what I was having a self-pity party. I don't even know how old I was. Maybe 10, 11. I didn't get my way. And so I took a plastic bag and sat on the couch and threatened my mother that I was going to kill myself if I didn't get my way. And you know what my mother said in her wisdom and old school mentality? Go ahead. And after about 3 breaths under the plastic bag, that plan dissipated quickly. And my mother taught me that lesson in self-pity. Listen, self-pity is extremely popular and extremely dangerous. Extremely popular and extremely dangerous. Because it helps us to seductively escape personal responsibility. We blame it on our circumstances. We blame it on others. We blame it on whatever we try to blame it on. But the truth is, the one responsible for your walk with God, for your happiness, is you. I don't find in the New Testament, maybe, you know, I don't find when Paul's in prison saying, well, you know what, I just can't rejoice in the Lord today because I'm in prison. And I was mistreated by the guards and I'm calling my lawyer and suing the Roman government. Yeah, that's a different version. Sorry. Self-pity is ingrained in our society. And it's amazing, and the illustration I gave, it's amazing how young our default is self-pity. Listen, every one of us, okay, let me not get on a Romanian rant today, okay? So every one of us, all of you, young people, little people, you have a tremendous opportunity. You're in church. You have parents that love you. You have your health. You have nothing to feel bad about this morning. Self-pity is from Satan, not from God. And it is ingrained. And you'll get around. You have to watch this. You'll get around other kids. And then all of a sudden, you'll be thinking about your rights, and I should have been treated better, and my mother's not like the other mother, my dad isn't like that, and all this, and the self-pity little, it's like a cloud, like a demon that comes in. Now, Paul said when he was in the prison, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. I think of Marcel and his brother. And these two kids, young people, were handicapped, always handicapped. And they didn't come to church for a long time until their brother died. Their brother came all the time to church and he died. And these two kids, young men, haven't missed church since. But I can remember one day, they asked me to take them to the hospital because they were going to the hospital for treatment. And I went and picked them up, and they were thanking me for giving me the ride. And I can remember when I dropped them off at the hospital, they pulled out some money to pay me. Now, you have to understand that doesn't happen too often in Romania. But I said, no, I don't need any money. But I thought of these two young men on crutches every day, struggling for survival. I never heard them complain. They just kept moving, kept going, kept walking, kept pushing forward, kept coming to church. And whenever I think of self-pity, I think of these two young men and think, vai de mine. I mean, woe is me. How can I let myself have self-pity with how good God has been to me and how fortunate I am to be where I am with who I am? We need to look at it. Listen, self-pity is a sickness, a disease, a poison. Don't let it well up in your soul. You are where you want to be. You can have a better life with Jesus. You just have to want it. Because he has promised that if you'll seek him first, all these things will be added unto you. Now, the second excuse is, I'm trying. No, you're not trying. I'm trying. You're either reading your Bible or you're not. You're either paying off your credit cards or you're not. You're either passing geometry or you're not. You're either losing weight or you're not. You're either swearing or you're not. You're either using drugs or you're not. You're either being faithful or you're not. You're either forgiving the person that hurts you or you're not. Now get ready. Okay. Get ready for a deep theological truth. Okay? And you kids pay attention because you may get it either better than your parents. Okay? Trying is lying. Trying is lying. And I've done it. Guilty. My wife will ask me, you do it? I'm trying. No, I'm not. I'm making an excuse. We think trying is an excuse. It takes, you know, takes the pressure off of me. Well, I haven't done it, but I'm trying. This vast black hole of I'm trying. No, you're not. You're not trying. You're not really trying. You see people's motivation when they're trying. When they really try, they do it. That's just an excuse. And then the third excuse, I will never change. Okay, seeing that I know another language, I'm going to interpret this for you. I will never change. Are you ready for the interpretation? Write it down. I don't want to change. That's what it means. If we can never change, then why do we believe the gospel? I mean, isn't the gospel all about change? I don't see on, the fruits of the Spirit. This is for under 40. Do you see that on there? I haven't seen that lately. Under 50, under 54. Okay, get myself in. No. You're not trying. You don't want to change. And when you say I don't want to change, you're doomed. Listen to me. You're doomed to stay exactly where you are. The New Testament was written that we could be changed. That this old man can put on a new man. Now, as I talk about this, I want you to think of walking. How many of you walk every day? I know Joe walks every day. Anybody else? Some of you guys walk. Okay, some of you walk, run every day. So when you walk, some of you are trying. That means you're not walking. So when you start walking, okay, if you're walking, I don't know, 5 miles, when you start, can you see the finish line or the mountain or the end of the trail? And when you take those first, like, you know, 100 yards, what are you thinking? How much longer? I'll never get there. Or how did he trick me into this walk? And so we'll start walking and we'll think, well, we'll never get there. But as you keep walking, what do? You take what? One step at a time. Wow, you guys are smart this morning. One step at a time. So when I'm talking about what you seek, you'll have. When I'm talking about seeking God with all your heart, I'm not asking you to go to the mission field tomorrow or this afternoon. You couldn't this afternoon. You'd have to get a COVID test first, but maybe in a couple days we could send you out. But that's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is to take a step. Like tomorrow morning when you get up, instead of checking your messages and social media, read the Bible. Like if you have a phone, if you don't have YouVersion, like you can go right here, YouVersion. And you can actually read the Bible. And you can put on here, you can actually go and take a plan. Maybe take, and you don't have to have a plan, read the Bible in 3 days. Okay? They have 5-day plans, 10-day plans, 21-day plans. I don't know if they have 1-day plans, but. And you can plan, you can take a plan. Here's one right here. Anxiety. Peace. How to love your neighbors. Better than normal. That's interesting. Or you can just choose a book and just read the Bible. You don't have to have a plan. Actually, I don't really like a lot of these plans. I like just reading the Bible. But here's the thing. You want to start? You want to know God more? Well, you better start seeking Him. You're not going to know God just doing what you're doing. You are exactly where you want to be this morning. And if you want to get to know God, what did he say? Seek the kingdom of God first. That means you need to seek God, not happiness. You need to seek God, not money. Seek God, not a better life. Seek God, not a better situation. God needs to be your passion and your hope and your source of satisfaction. And the good thing is, if you want him, you can have him. If you want him, you can have him. No excuses, no self-pity, no I'm trying, no I can't change. If you want God, you have to let go. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One step, first step, second step. Third step. And before you know it, as you're walking, you get to the place, summit of the mountain or wherever you're going, and you think, well, that wasn't so bad, till you wake up the next morning. But here's the thing. You can know God. That's the fourth spiritual law. What you seek, you'll find. What you seek, you will find. And the reason world is in turmoil is we spend our whole life seeking that which will not satisfy. And we fail to seek the one who created us, loves us, wants to give us eternal life, and wants to walk with us. Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. And Jesus said, what did he say? I will give you what? Rest. Do you have rest this morning? If you don't have rest in Jesus, you're not seeking it. You don't want it bad enough. Because Jesus said, come to me. So when I say all this, remember, you're not given the rest. Jesus is given the rest. Jesus is given the peace. He's given it to us, but we have to seek him. What you seek, you will find. Where you are is where you want to be. No more self-pity. No more I'm trying. No more I can't change. It's time we get a hold of the promises of Jesus, the promises of God. If we seek him, we will find him. Let's stand and pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you the glory. Lord, help us to get a hold of this principle. Lord, forgive us for being satisfied with inferior things of this world. Lord, we're all seeking something. Lord, sometimes we blame others, Lord, for our spiritual state. Lord, sometimes we blame our circumstances. Lord, forgive us, Lord. We know that in you, the promises of Scripture, we see them there. That in any situation that you can walk with us. Oh Lord, I pray that we would have a passion, a desire to know you and walk with you. Lord, maybe this somebody this morning needs to accept you as their Savior. They've not come to you. Maybe this somebody this morning that's been away from you, they've not been walking with you. Lord, may they take the step this morning. I am going to seek God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. If God's spoken to you this morning, maybe you just want to come and pray and kneel and say, Lord, I want to take the first step. I want to start seeking you. Lord, I've been busy. I've been occupied. I've let so many things get in the way of what is most important. My walk with you. You come this morning as we pray, as we sing.